check the Israeli law and the Jewish law, and when a man and a woman were to get married, whenever they saw somebody, that they, if a man saw a woman, he says, "Ooh, I'd like to make this girl my wife." So he goes and gets the best price he can get. Maybe it's 3 horses or 4 horses and $100. And he takes it over and sets it on, sets $100 down before her daddy and said, "Them 4 big stallions out there, they're yours if you'll let me have your daughter." The daddy looks at the boy. He looks at the price and says, "You mean you don't think she's worth more than that?" "A herd of cows." "Yeah." "A herd of cows, whatever." And he looks at the price. He said, "Well, okay, it's okay with me if it's okay with her." So she's sitting over there, and he goes and he takes a cup of wine and he sets it on a table before her and says, "Here." And she looks at the wine, she looks at the price, and then she looks at him. "Hmm." He said, "Okay." So, man, now then they're engaged. Now then he reaches down and gets her and takes her out for a date. No, no, no. He don't get to touch her. He has to leave the house and go to his father's house and build her a wedding chamber. He can't have no contact with her. He can't touch her. He can't take her to dinner. He can't do nothing until he gets the wedding chamber finished. When he gets the wedding chamber finished, then he can go back. Usually it happens in the middle of the night. He comes running back home to where she is. This usually takes from 1 to 2 years for him to build this little chamber for her. So at the 1 to 2 years, when he gets this all done, he says, one day he says, Dad, let me go get my wife. Dad looks at it, "Are you kidding me? You just got a frame stuck up there. That ain't ready for my new daughter-in-law." Now, why do you think he says the father knows when it's going to be ready? Because the father ain't in no hurry, see. The boy, he's in a hurry. He wants to go get this new wife. But the father says, "No, you get that thing in perfect shape." He works days and days and days, and he's got to that perfect. "Dad, is it ready now?" "Well, I'll tell you what I'll do, son. I'll come in and inspect it tomorrow." "But Dad, I want to go get this beautiful girl." He said, "That's okay. You ain't going to die. When I say it's ready," so he comes in. He says, "Uh-oh, a little more paint right here. You know, a little more trim right here. This is not exactly." "Dad, no. You got to get it just like I want it. It's got to be perfect for my new daughter-in-law." So when he gets it perfect, the father says, "Okay, son, it's ready for my daughter-in-law. You can go get her." So he goes out in the middle of the night with his friends. And she's been learning all about him, what makes him happy. She's got her wedding dress. She's got her lamp sitting there. And in the middle of the night, she hears this shout, "Cheryl, I'm coming to get you, honey." And she says, "That sounds like my man." She jumps up, puts her wedding dress on, puts her veil on, turns her lamp up, and he comes busting through the door. When he comes busting through the door, the daddy down there stops and says, "Hey, wait a minute, I'm going to make sure you're the right guy." He said, "Yep, you're the right boy. That's the one that paid the price for my daughter." So him and his friend, they come swoop the girl off her feet, and they take her back to the wedding chamber. Him and that wife, new wife, go in that wedding chamber, close the door, and they don't come out for 7 days. That's the way God does it. That's the way his plans are. We don't do it like that, do we? No, we don't do it that way. But in the process of doing it God's way, they create a holy soul tie. What we do? We go out and live together before we get married. We create an unholy soul tie. And then this happens to so many men. I've seen this since I've been a pastor. I've seen, and teaching these things about healing, I've seen this happen so many times. A man and a woman go together for 6 months, a year, 2 years, and they have sex the whole time. Maybe they just move in together and have sex. And maybe their sexual relationship appears to be fairly normal. And then they get married. And they get married, and they're married a year, 5 years, 10 years. And then all of a sudden, either the woman comes down with a complication issue where she can't have sex no more, or the man becomes impotent and he can't have sex no more. And so what they thought they couldn't live without, they found out they can't go there. Why? Because they generated an unholy soul tie and an unholy spirit entered their body. And somewhere along the line, that unholy spirit done the things it did to that, either that woman's body to make her where she cannot have sex with her husband. It's so painful, or whatever, and I see this all the time, or the man, one of the two. The worst case scenario I ever saw was a missionary, and this woman was trying to get a divorce from her husband. He was a mean guy, and she was going to divorce him and leave him, and it was going to take several months for the divorce to go through, and this missionary came back from Africa, and his wife died. So when he came back, he met this woman. He started going with her, and as he went with this woman, they wanted to have a sexual relationship. They knew it was wrong. Both of them were Christians. He was a missionary. So they went to the pastor in the church he's going to and told him the situation. Said, we're going to get married. As soon as her divorce comes through, would it be okay if we went ahead and moved in together and lived as man and wife? And the pastor said, sure. Bad advice. Very, very bad advice. That pastor had not studied God's word. So they moved in together, and for about 6 months, they enjoyed their sexual relationship, and then got married, and then they enjoyed their sexual relationship for another 6 months, and then he woke up impotent one morning, and for the next 25 years, there was no sex. Married 25 years and 6 months, and 25 of those years, no sex whatsoever. When they met me and Cheryl, she was so upset, she was ready for a divorce. She said, he won't kiss me, he won't hold me close, he won't do anything. I said, well, why don't you at least hold her close and kiss her? He said, I can't do anything, so why not? Why? I told him, I said, well, at least you could, you know, show her some love and compassion. But I said, I'll tell you what, I serve a God that's so awesome. I said, he's so loving, so kind, so forgiving. I believe if both of y'all will repent and tell God you're sorry for what you've done, I said, I believe when I pray the prayer of faith for you, he will restore you where y'all can have a sexual relationship again. They both repented. Cheryl and I was both there that day. They both repented of their sins, told God how sorry they was for what they had done, and I prayed the prayer of faith for them. 3 Sundays later, he come to church and said, Pastor, oh God, I wish I'd have met you 25 years ago. He said, this morning, I woke up this morning for the first time in 25 years, I was able to have a normal sexual relationship with my wife, first time in 25 years. Why don't we obey God? Why do we do what he tells us not to do? Do we not realize there's a consequence for sin? So when we generate these unholy soul ties, that's what they did. They generated an unholy soul tie. They allowed an evil spirit to come into their body, and that evil spirit had caused all these problems in their life. Now then, when a man and a woman gets married, according to God's word, this soul tie is, once you get married and you're clean and pure, this soul tie is to never be broken, and it is holy if it is done according to God's word. Now let's look at Matthew 19:4-6. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Verse 6. Wherefore they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Now then, is that soul tie that's generated supposed to be forever? Till death do you part. Then why do we have so many divorces in the church? Do we not know the Word of God? Do we not realize that when we generate a soul tie with our mate, maybe you were both clean and pure when you came together in marriage and you generated a holy soul tie and you give each one of you, you got half of each other so you're whole. But then when you break that soul tie, when you move out, you devastate the woman, and then both of you, when you remarry, and most almost nobody understands how to break a soul tie. Most people never heard of a soul tie or a relationship like this, and so they just marry another one, and then, of course, you can't be happy with that one because that one can't satisfy you. And so you divorce him and get you another one, and it's worse. And the further down the line you go, the worse it gets. Isn't that amazing? You don't understand how to ever get that back. So your sexual relationship, you can never, never be fully satisfied like God wants you to be, because you're doing it wrong. You've generated an unholy soul tie with all these people. When you sin against your mate, God hates it. In Malachi 2, 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17, let's see what Malachi 2, 13 says. When you sin against your mate, God hates it. Anything God hates, you better stay a long way away from it. Malachi 2, 13. And this have you done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering anymore, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. In other words, what are you saying right there? I don't care how much you come to the altar and cry and beg and plead. If you don't do things my way, I'm not going to answer your prayer. Yet you say, wherefore, because the Lord has been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she your companion and the wife of your covenant, of the covenant? Verse 15 and 16. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away, or divorce. For one covereth violence with this garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously. If God hates, verse 16, he hates putting away, or God hates divorce. Now, if God hates divorce, why in the world do we have so many divorces with so many people married so many times in the church? We obviously don't know what he says. But you never get by with these things. You will always suffer the consequences. And many people are sick and afflicted and got pains and sufferings in their bodies and troubles in their life and with their children, because they have not obeyed God, and they've done these things, but yet they never figured out how to break these curses that came upon them because of sin. Verse 17 and 18. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled Holy and Unholy Relationships, Soul Ties, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online, or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.